Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You want to see Loco?
Ah, yes. It's amazing how you knock me. Wrap it up Wednesday. Loco hour. Every time things are going off, except our Cleveland Browns moneyline bet.
Damn, Baker Mayfield gets me hot.
Bro, I mean, I'm going to give everybody the code word here in a moment, so do not go anywhere. This is obviously the Loco Hour Hockman and Crowder program. This hour brought to you by Toyota of Hollywood. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. You weren't listening at the end of yesterday's show. Crowder was certain. Cleveland Browns were getting 5 points. To bet the money line means I don't even want the points. Nah. They're going to win straight up.
49ers on an undefeated style team.
And then I think the first touchdown was like an 80-yard run or something.
88.
Texted yeah. Crowder. I'm like, this isn't good. No. They're all jacked up.
Home field. They're excited.
Prime time. Then the next touchdown. That Browns team, man. It's one of those teams where you could see a lot of drama happening during the season if things go off the rails.
Oh, they were showing Odell Beckham talking trash on the sideline. You didn't have to know his words. You could tell by his face he was talking trash. And then your franchise quarterback, the guy you went out and drafted to change your organization, gets benched? Come on, man. Cleveland got trouble, and this damn Freddie Kitchens, something's wrong with him. We talked about it. He's not ready to run a team like this.
I mean, Baker Mayfield was under pressure a lot of the night. I mean, Bosa was eating.
He's a monster.
Eating. But there were a couple like open passes. Your guy, Callaway from Florida, I mean, he had a touchdown pass. It was a bad pass by Baker Mayfield, but you still got to catch it.
Oh, it was not a bad. You're in the NFL. That's a great pass.
Because Booger McFarland said it's a great pass.
Yes.
And then Tony Dungy tweeted out, and he's like, got to disagree with my man Booger McFarland. That's a terrible pass.
It hit both his hands. And no, what? It hit his hands three times. It hit his left, his right, and then he tipped it up.
I mean, he should have caught it. I'm not arguing that.
Three hands touched the ball on the same defense. That is a good pass. Like Callaway, but honestly, he's been doing that since Florida. He'll have you a game that he looks amazing.
Passes.
He'll drop a pass so easy. They upset me. No run game either. That was ugly.
Well, we lost our money line, and I apologize to anyone that listened to us. You can't win them all.
No.
You cannot win them all.
I got cussed out on some DMs on Twitter. What'd you say about my 49ers again? I said, man, take it easy.
All right, time for your chance to win Channing's change, although he could use your change after last night.
Let's split it. If you win, we're going to split it. Can we do that?
How much for one change?
How much for one change?
The code word this hour is soda. Soda. S-O-D-A. Text the word soda right now to 72881, and you have a chance to win $1,000. Text the word soda right now to 72881, and you can win $1,000 of Channing's change. Your next chance to win will be the top of the next hour, 3 o'clock. It's a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. And if you're new to the show and you've never participated in this before, look, it's a national contest. So all the Entercom stations all over the U.S. are giving this code word out right now. And a whole bunch of people are texting, but we've had a great run of listeners winning $1,000 several times every time we do this promotion. And so we want to get it started quickly on this one, and it just started yesterday. So take a second, text the word soda, just that word, to 72881. 72881. Hurricanes are now favored, by the way, over Virginia on Friday.
Excuse me?
You figure that out. I don't know what I'm missing there. Someone figure that out for me. Because we were talking, I was talking with Solana before the show started, and he's like, I think the Dolphins are favored now. And then I'm like, no, impossible. And then he looked, and he's like, no, it's the Hurricanes. Hurricanes were getting 1.5 yesterday. Now they're 1.5 favorite over 4-1 Virginia, coming off a loss to Vatek. What am I missing there?
I don't know. They haven't really played anybody. Maybe that Old Dominion, William and Mary, but Florida State.
I get it, but like that, like I guess Miami just because they're home and it's prime time, so it's essentially a pick'em game.
Yeah.
But I don't even feel like it should be a pick'em game.
They're ranked.
I don't get it. I don't get it. Well,
let's move the line back. Put some money on it. See if we can move it ourselves.
Well, I would take Virginia plus the points on Friday, right?
Oh, for sure.
Someone text us 67974. Why are the Hurricanes favored over Virginia on Friday night? Text on Hockman and Crowder, driven by Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota. This month, all new Toyotas are at clearance prices with 0% APR financing for 75 months. On select models. Text in. Why? What am I missing there? And the Dolphins on Sunday again. I don't know how to fully communicate how impossible it is to have the Dolphins be a 3.5-point underdog to an 0-5 Washington Redskins team that fired their coach yesterday. And the Dolphins be a home underdog. I cannot begin to tell you, and obviously we've all seen it. I mean, it makes sense. I think Washington is going to beat them. I think they're going to beat them badly,
sure.
By the way. But it is unfathomable that a winless Washington team who just fired their head coach is a 3.5-point favorite over the Dolphins on Sunday.
This might be a money line weekend for us.
You know, I said yesterday, and I truly believe this, just based on what Washington is this season, this would be maybe the worst loss of the Dolphins franchise history. And again, I'm not saying that they don't want to lose, because I mean they want to win, but I mean fans should really be rooting for them to lose. If you get down to the end of the season and you lose a tiebreaker to Washington, and they get Tua Tagovailoa, or hold on to that pick, so now you've got to give up two of your first-round picks to Washington in order to get Tua. Like, trust me, you don't want it to come down to that. And I understand, you know, if you lose to an 0-5 Washington team with a new coach, it's not gonna make you feel great. But, man, you got to look towards the future on this one.
You're saying the worst loss in Dolphin history. This is probably the worst team in Dolphin history, so doesn't that line up?
Yeah.
Like, you're surprised that the worst team we've ever seen on the Dolphin field is going to lose to a bad team? Like, Washington should
be worser based on their record.
No.
Based on their 0-5, they just fired their head coach. They just got killed by New England. Dolphins are coming off a bye week. They've got 2 weeks to prepare for the game. Like, this is an unprecedented line. If I gave you the facts, yes, the Dolphins have no wins, but Washington actually has one more loss. Dolphins were on a bye week. They've got 2 weeks to prepare. Washington is starting with a new head coach this week. Like, all the stuff, Washington's on the road. All this stuff goes, oh, yeah, home team would have to be favored in that situation. They're not.
I don't think one Dolphin player, other than Xavier Howard, would start on the Redskins. Like, as you look at, like, their O-line's not great, but our O-line's terrible.
Right.
Adrian Peterson, Chris Thompson, they're better than our running backs.
Who's going to be their quarterback? Is it Colt McCoy?
The coach came out and said it's going to be McCoy or Keenum. He said Haskins is off the books. I just saw that this morning. Who is it? What's the coach that's taking
Callahan.
Over? Callahan. Yeah. Callahan came out and said it's going to be McCoy or Keenum. And McCoy and Keenum, would you pick Rosen or Fitzpatrick over either one of those guys? It's a close call. Now, I'm not saying they're
Colt
great,
McCoy,
but
McCoy. I think I would pick Josh Rosen over Colt McCoy. I think I might go with Case Keenum, but I might be thinking of that one Minnesota game 2 years ago.
The guy that has got one touchdown under his belt this season. That guy. That's the one we're running with.
Well, I mean, what does Josh Rosen have? What does Case Keenum have? What does Colt McCoy? Colt McCoy, didn't he flame out with the Browns? Like, I mean, it was
Colt McCoy. Oh, they're bad.
Yeah, they're bad.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we're doing the tallest midget
tallest
here,
midget,
but
yeah.
It's yeah, it's just I'm looking at their roster now. I can't just see a flat out oh he'll start other than Xavier. That's it. Xavier Howard will start over Quentin Dunbar, who is pretty good. He's a Florida guy, and no, he wouldn't. Josh Norman, Quentin Dunbar, those are two good corners. Landon Collins. No.
I'm not saying that there's no reason that the Dolphins are underdogs. I'm just saying if I laid out for you the facts of the game on Sunday, you'd say there's no way the home team could be the underdog there. The Washington Redskins are in a state of disarray. Mm-hmm. They're in a state of disarray. Although I guess the Dolphins are essentially too.
When you see a team that hadn't scored in the second half.
Yeah, that's a disarray.
Like,
disarray laden team.
After halftime, this team is not going to put up a point.
Whatever you do in the first half is what you're going to live with.
That's it. So if you don't think
you play two quarters a game, the other team plays four.
And that's why they're favored.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They can't score in the
that
second
makes sense.
Half.
Let's get some headlines here with Alejandro Solana.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Since we're on the discussion of not showing up in the second half, Dolphins offensive coordinator Chad O'Shea spoke today, and when he was asked about the team's general poor play in the second half, he responded with, quote, "I would not say it's only player related."
Ooh. Interesting. So he's calling himself out?
He should call himself out. Yeah. You got to think of something that works.
Yeah. Yeah. That's on them, too.
Yes.
It is on them.
Did you watch the offensive plays the 49ers were running last night?
They kept you, like, they kept, but again, I don't think the Dolphins are devoid of that stuff in the future, but why would you use that stuff this season?
To try to score more than 0 points.
But you don't
want
to score more than the opposing team. Like
one, you can give me one series.
One
show
little gadget
me the,
play.
Show me the good stuff for one series and then go back to the old stuff.
I'm not certain that you're going to see any of that kind of stuff this season. I think you will see a completely different team next season.
They see the backside corner or they figure out the coverage where a guy's man-to-man. They're like, hey, a double pass would kill him right now. A flea flicker would kill him right now. You don't run that.
Correct.
You leave it in the holster?
And I believe Brian Flores has that knowledge. He's too good of a defensive coordinator. He looks. He sees. I can exploit that weakness.
Yes.
I'll do that next season.
They did.
I'm not kidding you.
They had the flea flicker in Dallas, which was a 30-plus yard game when Preston Williams caught the crosser. There, it's in there. They
right.
run one.
Right.
Run two.
Right. But
just give me two.
He's writing them down for next season.
How much for two trick plays?
How much for one rib? What else you got, Solana?
Speaking of the Canes, who were kind of scratching our heads at how they're favored at home, Jaren Williams did not practice today, and there's speculation that he may be dealing with an injury because he only trained with one of their trainers today for 20 minutes and then left to the weight room. Tate Martell did take snaps today behind Nikosi Perry.
Well, it would be Nikosi Perry, obviously, and I don't think that would bother me at all. Like I'd be fine with Nikosi back there. I thought he looked good on Saturday.
And we've seen him look bad in the past,
like, right?
Is Nikosi your guy now? Or are we still on Jaren?
Well, I think Jaren's still the guy, but if he's injured, I don't think there's that much of a fall off with Nikosi. If he looks the way that he did on Saturday,
I throw three picks in my first seven passes. I'm grabbing my elbow too. A little tinge on the tip.
Something wasn't right. Something's not right.
I'm telling you, man, nothing wrong with that boy.
What else you got, Solana?
Sam Darnold has been cleared to play and will start Sunday's Week 6 game against the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, I can't wait because they're going to do nothing again on offense. I can't wait. They will do nothing again on offense. Adam Gase, he is sharpening his Sudoku pencils. He can't wait to get out there.
He's going to get in that expert book this week.
Oh, man.
The
he
tough
is
ones.
Jacked up. Anything else, Solana?
Yeah, the Panthers, of course, are back at home tonight. Their second home game, third overall game this season. That's against the Hurricanes. And the Heat's first preseason game tonight, 7:30, here on 790 The Ticket.
This from Andy Slater, who I know is a competing radio host, but I thought this was great. On Twitter, he tweeted out, you talk about the Panthers and the Heat and whatnot. Here are South Florida ticket prices this week. I think this speaks volumes to the state of sports in South Florida. Heat Spurs tonight preseason, $6. $6 will get you in. FAU Middle Tennessee State on Saturday, $6. $6 will get you in.
Okay.
FIU and Charlotte Saturday, $6.
$6 still? $6. We're doing $6.
$6 will get you in. Florida Panthers, Carolina Hurricanes tonight. $7. $7 gets you in. $7 gets you in. Canes and Virginia Friday night. $9. $9 gets you in. $9 gets you in. Canes, I'm sorry, Dolphins and Redskins on Sunday.
$40.
$16. $16 gets you in right there.
Man.
By the way, you could buy tickets. Let me do my quick maths here. Nah, I can't do it. It's too much math. I was going to add them all up. Can't do
it. We'll have it at five. We'll let them do this math. We'll have you at five. We'll tell you.
And then to give it a little context, Andy Slater writes out, Zoo Miami admission, $23. Like, that's... It's unbelievable. It's a really well-done tweet by Andy Slater, so nice job by him. But that is the state of sports in South Florida right now. $6 Heat and Spurs, $6 FAU, $6 FIU, $7 Panthers, $9 Canes, $16 Dolphins tickets, $23 Zoo Miami admission. I believe it cost, you could get any sporting tickets for the South Florida teams this weekend for less money than one juice downstairs here in the Citadel.
That $20 juice they got?
$20 juice. I'm not even lying. You can go to like a Dolphins and the Heat game tonight. You could do a sports doubleheader this week. Heat game Tuesday night, Dolphins game on Sunday, or one bottle of juice downstairs in the Citadel.
And the dude tells me, oh, it's cold pressed. Well, show me the process. Of a $20 cold press juice.
All right. 15 minutes of Heat. Speaking of the Heat, we're going to talk with Clay Ferrero from Local 10. We'll do our 15 minutes of Heat next.
You want to see Loco?
Here you go.
Long ago.
This is the theme song from Vacation. The original Vacation, this is Lindsey Buckingham, and today is Chevy Chase's 76th birthday.
What?
And I have tweeted out my Mount Rushmore of good Chevy Chase movies and my Mount Rushmore of garbage Chevy Chase movies. Some actors have made such good movies and such bad ones, and I've given every guest today the assignment of their Mount Rushmore of Chevy Chase movies in celebration of his 76th birthday. So we're going to go out to the Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores guest line, where they are truly steps beyond convenience. And this is the 15 minutes of Heat, believe it or not. Heat might not be happy with the Chevy Chase detour here, but I'm not going to detour there yet. Clay Ferrero is sports anchor and reporter for Local 10 and a friend of ours. The Heat hosts the Spurs at the American Airlines Arena tonight, preseason game one. It's a 7:30 tip-off. Are you going to that game, Solana, by the way?
I'm not. Because
you're not?
Tonight is,
oh,
of
it's
course,
Yom Kippur. That's right. Yeah. All right. So it'll be a very non-Jewish crowd at the arena tonight. Mm-hmm. Take that for whatever you want it to mean. Maybe you want to go, maybe you don't. But I guarantee you, no line at the kosher corner.
I love a good kosher meal. Now.
I hope whoever runs that kosher corner concession stand doesn't even open it up tonight, because he's going to be disappointed.
What happened? Where is everybody at?
Yeah, are these Knishes no good?
Knish.
There's your 15 minutes of Heat, ladies and gentlemen. Here comes Clay Ferrero. Hello, Clay.
Man, I don't even know if I want to talk basketball. I'm all for talking food for the next 15 minutes, and I think the Heat would be cool with that if we pump up all of their concessions.
Sure, why not? Why not? They got great mini empanadas over there. If they still do, they still do the Pana mini empanadas. They don't do those anymore, Solana?
The mini tequeños and empanadas are no longer. I mean, I haven't been this season, obviously.
Wow, they didn't have them last season?
No, they didn't.
They said they had them, but then James Johnson broke into the freezer.
Oh,
wow. That is excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, that's your 15 minutes of Heat. He ate the entire season's worth.
Where are these empanadas?
I mean, I don't know what else we can discuss after that. Like, it's all downhill from there.
Wow.
Why even do this now?
Wow.
Why even do this now? That's it.
Crazy.
It's all downhill from there.
All right, Clay Ferrero, again, sports anchor, reporter at Local 10. Now, I don't know if we've spoken with you since Heat Media Day, But I follow on social media. I see on Local 10. I mean, you've been around the team a lot from media day through training camp and the arena tonight. And so what's the vibe you're getting from this Heat team? This feels a little different to me than the last few seasons.
I'm with you. It almost feels kind of like a new era Bad Boys. And, you know, going back to those old Detroit Pistons teams. And not that this team is going to go out there and, you know, go all Rick Mahorn or Bill Laimbeer on anybody. But I think there's a feeling that they're going to love being hated. And I think that's something that all my Miami Heat fans are going to embrace, because, you know, that's kind of been their identity ever since LeBron came and then left. But, you know, during the Big Three era, I think all Heat fans took joy in being hated. And now this team is all in on embracing being hated, because they understand what Jimmy Butler is all about. It's about going in there and making sure the other team, as Eric Spoelstra would say, feels you, and not in a good way. And what I love about this, guys, is even the players, even their social media account, even Spo, on up to Pat Riley, everybody is embracing the Jimmy Butler experience, and they are making this the identity of the team, and I think that's a great thing.
And Clay Butler is amazing. He has a great personality. Even with you talking to him about the memes he's made over the years,
yeah,
like, his personality is awesome. Best personality since what Heat player?
Ooh, great one.
Wow, that's interesting. You know, it's obviously varying, far different personalities, but Chris Bosh was just amazing. And Chris Bosh was one of the few athletes that every time, not including Channing Crowder, of course,
my man,
but every time I talked to him, I came away saying, man, I learned something today. And whether it was about basketball, whether it was about life, he just had this way of, he never used cliches during our interview sessions, or when he did, there was a valid reason for it, and he could explain why he used the cliche. So I would say, for a much different way, a much different reason, and in a much different way, I'd probably go back to Bosh.
Clay Ferreiro is with us. What does Jimmy Butler bring to the squad? He's got that killer intensity, we know that, but what does he bring?
An identity, and it's the identity that the Heat have said that they have had for a long time, but I feel like Jimmy Butler is the personal embodiment of Heat culture. And has there been maybe a little bit of it going overboard with the 3:30 a.m. wake up? Maybe a little bit. I mean, these guys aren't going to wake up at 3:30 a.m. On game day or practice day, because they're going to be falling asleep at halftime.
I will say, though, just for edification, Crowder was up at 3:30 a.m. A lot of practice nights and game days. He hadn't gone to sleep yet, but he was awake.
Still drinking.
He was awake, and I think that story was missed by a lot of outlets at that time.
Tighten up, Clay. That was your story, man.
Yeah, there's a difference. Jimmy Butler was dedicated to the Heat. You were dedicated to whatever the IPA was.
Yeah, Funky Buddha. Funky Buddha.
Tootsies. Let's be honest.
That's right. So, but I just feel like, you know, there's a big difference between saying that you're about a certain thing and then being about it. And, you know, whether or not the 3:30 a.m. stuff is perhaps a little overboard, I think we know what Jimmy Butler is about. And in other places, it has not gone over well at times. And the intensity, it doesn't fly for a long period of time. That, yeah, maybe there's a honeymoon period early on, and then once people realize, no, wait, this guy really is crazy when it comes to work ethic and all of that, I don't think we can deal with this, then players don't take to it so well after a period of time. I feel like with this group, with this coaching staff, with this front office, that I don't think this is just a honeymoon period. I think they're willing to embrace everything about this. Not to say there's not going to be a little bit of conflict along the way, but Spo has said he likes those uncomfortable moments. And I think because that's what they're about, I feel like it's going to work in a great way.
And Clay, with the expectations with Jimmy and his coming in, like, we know he's going to be the closer, but have you seen any of the schematical changes? Like, who's going to be the main ball handler? Does Jimmy need the ball? Does he play well away from the ball? Like, have you seen any of that watching camp or watching any workouts?
That's what I'm looking forward to seeing. And you know, unfortunately, they don't really let us into the gym for practices. So I think we're really going to start to see more of that tonight. I wouldn't take too much out of what you saw in the red, white, and pink game. So we'll start to learn a bit of that tonight. But I think the good thing, Channing, is that you have a guy in Jimmy Butler finally who, yes, late game he can get his own shot, but that also means that throughout the rest of the course of the game, he's somebody who can be that primary ball handler if you need him to. I don't know that that's necessarily the role that they're going to ask him to take. It's going to be fascinating to me if they do it more with Justice Winslow or Goran Dragic. I mean, Deion Waiters may have some times when he's out there handling the ball quite a bit. So they have a lot of guys. Kelly Olynyk, by the way, not bringing it up the court, but somebody in the half court that can find guys. They've got some facilitators now. And, yeah, Butler, I think, finally gives you that guy who can do it all with the ball in his hands. But I think starting tonight, we're going to start to get a better idea of who's going to take on that role.
Yeah, that's what we're looking for tonight, right? There's nothing else that you really are concerned about. It's preseason game one, but you want to start to see what the rotations are and who's doing what, I guess.
Yes, yeah, 100%. And I've learned not to take too much out of preseason stuff over time in any sport. But I do think you want to start to see, yeah, the rotation. And, you know, certain guys like, hey, we've started to see some interesting stuff from KZ Akpala, the second-round pick out of Stanford. And, you know, how does he – and Tyler Hero, how do these guys look on the floor against other NBA-level players? Because I know Tyler Hero, hey, he was getting all this buzz at Summer League, but how many times have we seen guys go out and ball out in Summer League? And then when actual games against guys who are not selling insurance come into play, they change. And all of a sudden, those guys turn back into
pumpkins. Briante Weber is a perfect example of that.
Yeah, I mean, didn't Michael Beasley average like 700 points?
Well, Beasley, though, went on to have a nice NBA career, though. I mean, there's guys that, you know, show out in Summer League and then they're on 10-day contracts the rest of their career.
Yeah. No, and there are levels to everything. But, like, I want to see, okay, how much of what we saw from Tyler Hero in Summer League was because of level of competition? And then, no, I don't think teams are going to game plan against him as much. You're not going to see the Spurs, like, draw up something to go and trap him or anything like that. But I think when he gets on the floor and he's going up against NBA-level rotational players, if not starters, then how does that game translate that we saw back in Summer League?
Again, 15 minutes of heat. We do it every day around this time. Clay Ferraro, sports anchor and reporter for Local 10. Heat hosts the Spurs at the American Airlines Arena tonight at 7:30. All right, here's the important stuff. In honor of Chevy Chase's 76th birthday today, I tweeted out two Mount Rushmores, one of good Chevy Chase movies, one of bad ones. My good Chevy Chase movies, the Mount Rushmore, in no particular order, Caddyshack, Fletch, Vacation, and Seems Like Old Times. And the Mount Rushmore of awful Chevy Chase movies, Nothing But Trouble, such garbage.
Nothing But Trouble.
Caddyshack 2, Deal of the Century, which I don't know if you all remember, and Funny Farm, which is god-awful, and there's so many people on Twitter that apparently like Funny Farm. So, Clay, before the show today, I gave you a homework assignment, your Mount Rushmore of Chevy Chase movies.
Well, see, I think you're going all Skip Bayless with the Funny Farm thing. I feel like you're overemphasizing the negative just to try to get a reaction on
boring
social media and get people yelling at you.
No. I don't like when people yell at me. Channing yells at me enough.
Maybe my wife yells at me.
Channing yells at me. My kid yells at me. I don't need tweeters yelling at me.
You're the problem.
I don't know, man. It sounds like that's your comfort zone now. I think you
that
kind
many
of like
people are yelling
naturally
at me. Maybe it is on me.
You remind me of Dookie Lang, our producer at Channel 10, where he says something and people start yelling at him, and he knows that he was poking the bear. He's like, I don't understand. Why is everybody yelling at me? Well, why do you think?
Yeah, I don't get it either. All right, so what's your Mount Rushmore? Yeah. Don't tell me you like Funny Farm.
No, I don't think it's great. I certainly don't put it on the Mount Rushmore of good, but I would probably switch out Funny Farm with Man of the House.
Bad movie.
With Jonathan Taylor. That was back when like everybody was trying to capitalize on Jonathan Taylor Thomas and what he was doing on
Home Improvement.
He was like all teenage girls apparently loved him, so they started making movies with him, and then they realized, okay, this isn't
because there's I mean there's a plethora of terrible Chevy Chase movies.
Yeah, but I think you hit on some good ones. I just felt like you were trying to stir up a bit.
I'll tell you why Funny Farm is up there. It's because there were such expectations for that movie because that was right during Chevy Chase's like real wheelhouse where he was putting out great stuff. Like, I mean, there's a bunch to choose from, like that Invisible Man garbage movie. Like, there's a bunch, but Funny Farm to me was just an unbelievable disappointment.
When the mailman used to come past and sling all the mail,
terrible.
Man, that movie was hilarious.
That's funny.
Right. Yes. Well, and what about the Rocky Mountain oyster scene?
Oh.
I mean, I'd say that's borderline iconic.
I mean, didn't John Candy do a Rocky Mountain oyster scene in like Summer Rental or something? Like, I don't know. Movie's garbage.
What? I love how dug in you are on this.
Oh, this is an intractable position. I will change my position on the Dolphins and tanking and the Heat and Tyler Hero. Like, I will change any opinion, but not Funny Farm as one of Chevy Chase's worst four movies.
Hey, look, man, stand for something or you'll fall for everything. So, hey, I'm not going to knock you. So the good ones, though, I'm with you on 50% of them. I've got Caddyshack and Vacation, I'm with you on. The other two I'm going to put on there, and this may be because I grew up in that era, and I like my idea of comedy was kind of formed by Chevy Chase and that group of guys. So I'm going to go Spies Like Us and Three Amigos.
I had a feeling the younger guys are going to go Three Amigos. I knew that. Like, I was a little bit older already, so Three Amigos, I could see that. Spies Like Us, it was okay, but, I mean, one of his four best movies of all time?
And again, I think it's because this is how I was socialized, comedy-wise. Like, this is, those are some of my earliest memories of seeing, like, I don't want to say adult comedy movies,
right,
but, like, grown-up comedy-type movies. And so I think I view everything through the prism of those movies, and maybe if I'd seen the other ones first, so... Wait, no, why am I couching this? No, I can stand it. If you're going to sit here and say Funny Farm is one of
like,
the four
yeah,
worst
he's
of
treating
all time,
this with kid gloves with me. I mean, I understand, Hawk, but...
Chevy might be listening.
I don't want to say anything bad. All right, what about your bad ones? Awful Chevy Chase movies.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you on all of them, except right. I'm gonna sub out Funny Farm for Man of the House. And again, that's where how can you sit there and say that Funny Farm was worse than Man of the House?
Just because I think the expectation level was so much greater. You know, you talk about like watching it through the prism of whatever. Because it came out in '88. You know, I was a freshman in college. I must have gone to see it at the theater. I love Fletch and Caddyshack and whatever, and it was just so god-awful boring. I think I saw it at the Bakery Center on Dixie and whatever in Coral Gables. And just it's just a bad movie. I'm sorry. I don't need to give you an explanation, Clay.
No, but I get it now. I feel like I hear your voice.
The world is turning on each other.
This was traumatic for you. You had expectations.
Yes.
It was like you... You had this thing in your head. It's like at Christmas or Hanukkah, whatever. There's like one gift that you really wanted so bad, and you think it's in this box, and then you open it up, and you got socks.
That's exactly
so
right.
That
or as Crowder once got deodorant for right for Christmas.
He opened up. We were struggling a little bit.
He opened up a Christmas gift, and it was deodorant, and he played with it. He played with it like it was a toy.
I rolled out biscuit dough. I did anything I could with it, Clay.
All right, there you go. Clay Ferreiro, watch him on Local 10. That's our 15 minutes of Heat. Go Heat. Hopefully they get that. I mean, does it matter tonight? Hopefully they find a good rotation. That's what I'm rooting for tonight. There you go.
No injuries.
No injuries. There you go. Thanks, Clay.
Take care, fellas.
There you go. Clay Ferreiro, our 15 minutes of Heat. Do it every day at this time. Quick break. Come back with more Hawkman and Crowder.
You want to see Loco?
Just go get him.
You know, I started the show today because I was gonna do it again because it was a nice little mellow start there. I started the show today with an interception. Right at, maybe we go on at 155. Like, right at 155. It was a slowish song. Was it Lionel Richie or something? Commodores?
No, I think it was, I'll tell you right now.
Whatever it was. Something that sounded romantic. And I said, wrap it up Wednesday. And then I just looked through the text machines because I wanted to see what people had to say about Chevy Chase movies. And I went so far down that I realized a million people texted in, bro, it's Tuesday, not wrap it up Wednesday. What was the song I opened with? Did you find it?
Yeah, it was I Want to Know by Joe.
Yeah, it's like
that's a good song.
Mellow song, though, right?
Yeah, it usually makes our Wednesday Wrap It Up Wednesday playlist, but it is a 90s song, so it fit the throwback.
I got confused. Let's see what I have here in the Loco Hour. Those of us here at Entercom South Florida, the Miami Heat, and the Miami Cancer Institute are continuing our partnership to find a cure for cancer. So coming up on November 16th is our Dribble Drive Against Cancer. Zaslow leads the way as we have the Dribble Drive Challenge. It goes 13.8 miles from the Miami Cancer Institute in Kendall to the American Airlines Arena. And then there's the Dribble Drive from Vizcaya to the arena. And then the Dribble Dash, which is around the perimeter of the arena. So you could form teams now and donate. Go to heathelpcure.org. That is a great event every year from 790 The Ticket. heathelpcure.org. This hour brought to you by Toyota of Hollywood. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Do you have you seen a lot of Chevy Chase movies, Crowder?
I didn't see as many as you because I was born in 83, so I caught
all his 70s movies, which was Seems Like Old Times, which is on my Mount Rushmore, Foul Play, Modern Problems, all that stuff you missed.
I got in around Fletch, I believe, Funny Farm, I remember, Nothing But Trouble was, I watched that 150 times.
All right, so
times.
What is your Mount Rushmore? Chevy Chase turned 76 today. What is your Mount Rushmore of Chevy Chase movies?
I go Nothing But Trouble's one.
Oh, my God. Is this the bad list?
This is the good
list.
This is
list. The list of garbage movies?
With the little fat baby grown men and the roller coaster.
It's so silly. Dan Aykroyd's that weird judge.
Yes.
It's such a bad movie.
And Demi Moore is in it. She's looking
awful
good.
In it.
What?
She's awful in it. We've had this conversation before because I was very surprised when you had said, I think it was like 5 years ago you told me you liked that movie. Because
you love Chevy Chase and I was trying to relate with you. I was like, bro, Nothing But Trouble.
One of the worst all time, not just a bad Chevy Chase movie, but a bad movie, period.
Oh, Tupac was in it.
Like, where does Digital Underground come from in that movie? Why are they there?
Because they got pulled over by the same cop that pulled over Chevy and Demi.
But everybody is a fictional character in Nothing But Trouble. Digital Underground is Digital Underground. Like, what's happening there?
It's Tupac.
But it doesn't make any sense.
That's the movie over the edge.
And then, you know, I mean, he's not like, he just shows up in court. Like, there's no fight with the cops. There's no nothing. Like, you know, I don't know.
Why would you assume that?
Because he's Tupac.
the fat little baby grown up.
Such a bad movie.
Bro, everybody loved the fat baby grown up.
It's such a bad movie. All right, so what's your Mount Rushmore of good Chevy Chase movie starts with Nothing But Trouble.
And then I go Caddyshack. Everybody knows one's better. Then I go Fletch.
Yep, I got Fletch on mine.
You got Fletch on yours. Yep. And the crazy thing is you just argued about it. I love Funny Farm. The ducks landing on
that
the icy
one's
lake.
On your good one?
The dog that wouldn't move and then hauled ass.
God.
Bro, Funny Farm was a good movie.
Oh, my goodness. It is such a bad movie. I'm so disappointed.
The
in
city
you.
Slicker out of place.
I get it. I get the concept. get the concept.
So
big time city writer.
Explain to you why it was good.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything.
He went out there for peace.
So, Lana, have you seen any Chevy Chase movies? You're 25. Like, you probably don't know him in anything.
I know who he is.
Right.
But Vegas Vacation is really the only one that stands out to me.
Christmas Vacation, too, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, I was never really into, like, the vacation movies other than Vegas Vacation. I don't know why. It just wasn't.
Because he was in the Vacation reboot, too, recently.
Yeah.
Played himself, you know. I mean, not himself, but he played Clark Griswold, the character that he played in the original. Yeah, Chevy Chase. Chevy Chase, to me, was, like, an iconic comedic actor back in the day. He started on Saturday Night Live in the 70s, first season. He was only on SNL for one season. I don't even know if I saw him then because I think that was, like, 75 or 76, so I was probably 5 or 6 years old. But he was the funniest actor in movies going. Like, he's fallen off. I don't find him to be very funny anymore. And also, he's supposed to be just a complete a-hole.
He is.
Oh, my God.
Chevy. I want to call him Chevy all the time. Chevy. Did he have the same problem Jim Carrey did? Or like he had the same jokes,
he always played like the smart ass, know it all funny guy, the quick little one liner. And then it just was like, okay, I got it. I got it.
you're slick.
I do the same thing with Will Ferrell. I'm not even lying. And Will Ferrell, I mean, legend.
Yes.
But, man, I got it. Zach Galifianakis, same thing. I got it, bro. Like, I see. Like, you. That's it. Like, you're always the guy in Hangover. Like I got your bit. Like,
it's, but with those guys, you think about it. Because, Will, you kind of cut me with that one. But now that I think about it, it's
the same thing.
It's the same character. What do you want him to do? Because Jim Carrey tried to do some realistic
and
movies,
miserably.
And it was terrible.
Right. I mean, sometimes you have to stay in your wheelhouse. But it's like, I got it. It's the reason that I railed against Holmes and Watson. Because all that happened there was Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly thought to themselves, people love what we do.
Yeah.
Put us in any characters, and we'll just do what we do, and people will love it. And that was an unmitigated disaster, and I called it beforehand, right?
You did.
I called that one. No one was going to go see Holmes and Watson.
It was like life.
I couldn't even watch it on the plane.
Where when you get two comedians together and just let them sit and talk trash back and forth.
Harlem Nights. I mean, Harlem Nights is the perfect example of that, right? I mean, bring a whole bunch of funny people together. Richard Pryor, Red Fox, Eddie Murphy, Della Reese, Arsenio Hall. Like, right? And then it's just, it's great. And Holmes and Watson, like, yeah, Will Ferrell, John C. Reilly, all right, buddy, we got you. Like, I've seen the movie before, and you weren't dressed up as Private Eyes, and so I'm good.
Is this the Step Brothers?
Right.
Are they solving crimes now?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I watched the making
of. It's Step Brothers with magnifying glasses.
Really, I watched the making of, and they were saying how, like, most scenes weren't scripted. They told him a situation, just let him go.
And they thought that that would be riotous.
Yeah. And I honestly, I went into that movie wanting to love it just to disagree with you.
You saw it?
Oh, yeah. I watched it in the, I think one time we were in Vegas. I watched it in the hotel room.
Oh, my God. I can't. Did you ever see that, Solana?
No, I never watched it.
Yeah. I mean, that just, that, I it makes me physically recoil thinking of someone watching Holmes and Watson.
Yeah.
Just physically recoil.
Vince Vaughn's that way too, isn't he?
Same character in everything he does. Same character.
I just saw him in something serious where he was trying to get his daughter back or something. His wife had custody. And it was semi-serious, and it was terrible.
Is he, though? You put Vince Vaughn in, like, the Will Ferrell category.
Well, just kind of plays the same same thing, like Double Down Trent in Swingers. You ever see Swingers?
No.
Like, he's... You've seen Swingers?
Yeah.
Like, he's Vince Vaughn. Like, it's the, that's the epitome of Vince Vaughn.
Didn't he do a horror movie, though, or Psycho? Wasn't he one of those movies?
He was in Psycho. You're right. But that was a remake of a Hitchcock movie. You can't bring Vince Vaughn to Psycho.
I think Vince Vaughn was in Predator.
The new one.
The new Predator. And
he was?
Like, but he was Vince Vaughn running from Predator.
Jurassic Park 2.
He's Vince Vaughn.
Yes. He was Vince Vaughn running from dinosaurs.
Every movie with Vince Vaughn in it, the credits should say Vince Vaughn as himself.
That's exactly.
No matter what character he's playing. You're right. In Jurassic Park, he plays Vince Vaughn. The only movie he didn't play Vince Vaughn is Psycho. But, I mean, it's such an iconic movie that you can't bring Vince Vaughn to it. Like, that's just, like, that's funny, man. Jurassic Park.
They took 100 takes. Vince, stop doing you. This is a different movie.
Can you read the script and find the nuance somewhere in the character? No, I kind of play Vince Vaughn. It's what I do.
This is me. Call Will Ferrell for all that stuff.
Again, if you didn't hear the first segment, Andy Slater, one of the radio hosts down here, tweeted out a great tweet. This is the state, I really believe. This is such a great snapshot of the state of South Florida sports right now. These are ticket prices for this week's sporting events down here. Tonight, Heat and Spurs, preseason, $6. Saturday, FAU and Middle Tennessee State, $6.
Okay.
Saturday, FIU and Charlotte, $6.
Mm-hmm.
The Panthers, on a one-game win streak tonight, by the way, they put their one-game win streak on the line. Panthers tonight at the BB&T Center. Second home game in Coach Q's Panthers era.
Big time.
$7.
A little tax on that.
Canes and Virginia, prime time Friday night college football. $9 gets you.
That's sad.
And then Sunday, your professional, this multi-billion dollar NFL operation, Dolphins-Redskins, 9 losses between the two teams, $16.
It's more for a beer. In.
And Zoo Miami, Andy Slater points out, that would be $23 to get into. It would be more expensive to go to the zoo this week than to see one of the sporting events.
Have you ever watched those otters play around on the slide?
Fun as hell.
Man, I'll sit there for hours.
Fun as hell.
I saw an otter eat a lizard one time.
I got to give you the code word in the next segment, so you don't want to go anywhere when we start the simulcast, because we'll give you the 3 o'clock hour code word, your chance at winning $1,000. $1,000, by the way, would buy you almost 500 tickets for tonight's. No, it was not, it's not that much. It's $1,000 would buy you what? Oh, almost 200 tickets for tonight's Heat Spurs game. So, just to give you a little context.
Cleveland Clinic Florida is here for you with our nationally recognized orthopedic and sports health team. Stop playing through the pain and let us get you back in the game and back to your life. Whether you need help keeping up, running further, or just staying on course, our whole team is here for you. Anytime, anywhere, we got you. Find your way to the best care at clevelandclinicflorida.org/ortho. Get that body feeling great at Cleveland Clinic.
That's pretty crazy when you look at the prices, right? Heat and Spurs tonight, and then Canes, Virginia, Friday, and then Dolphins, Redskins. That'd be 25. You can go to all three of those events. These are just get-in prices, so they're not great seats, but you could go all three of those events for $31. $31.
It's crazy.
I mean, for $31, like $31 is what? Two drinks? Two drinks on South Beach? Not even?
Drink and a tip.
Not even. Right?
Not even.
$25 for a drink.
Like a mixed drink with top shelf stuff. Like mm-hmm. You can go to three sporting events or you can get one mixed drink.
And if you win Channing's Change, it's 166 people you can take to the game.
I mean, time of your life.
We have a great time.
We'll give you the code word in just about 5 minutes. We have a loaded potato for you on this Tuesday. Steve Goldstein going to join us in the 3 o'clock hour. Talk some Dolphins with Adam Beasley in the 4 o'clock hour. And your chance to win $1,000 at the top of every hour. So just about 5 minutes from now, we are endeavoring to take all the stations. Papa, the Hockman and Crowder simulcast begins next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.